All right, this morning I want to share on a topic which Apostle Paul had upon his heart when you read the book of Thessalonians. And it is abounding more and more. It is about abounding more and more. In other words, we are to aim at excellence. We are to pursue excellence. Let's read the verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now in this book, Paul, in this chapter 4 verse 1, he uses the word furthermore. And this actually is the opening of a new section in this epistle. And if you read the book of 1 Thessalonians, the first three chapters, Paul has not given any kind of instruction. In chapter 1, he is actually commending the Thessalonian church for their faith, for being an exemplary church. He is commending them for their labor of love, and he is commending them for being such good, faithful people. And this church, the Thessalonians, they were serious. They were serious, faithful church. In verse 7 of chapter 3, he says that they were steadfast in the Lord. They were steadfast in the Lord. So, we see that Paul, in chapter 2, Paul is giving the example of his behavior and how he conducted himself when he came to preach the gospel to the Thessalonians. That's the whole, he's protecting his integrity and how the gospel has changed his life and how he behaved when he preached the word to the Thessalonians. And in chapter 3, we basically see Paul's burden, because if you read Acts chapter 17, Paul visited the Thessalonian church after Philippi, and he was persecuted there by the Jews because he went to the synagogue of the Jews in Thessalonica, and they persecuted him, and they were actually meeting in Jason's house, and probably that was the meeting place they had in the church, and they pulled Jason, and because Paul and Silas, they were not this Jason, okay, and Paul and Silas were lodging in his house, in Jason's house. And what happened is that these people, the Jews that did not believe, they dragged Jason out of the house and they persecuted him, and they also wanted to persecute Paul, but Paul was nowhere to be seen. And then the disciples suggested that Paul would leave that place and go to Berea, and that's the scenario. Now Paul, when he left, he had a concern, because in that city persecution and affliction was on rise, because the Jews did not like what the message that was being preached about Jesus. They did not like it. And the Romans over there, they did not like either, because they were saying that these guys are teaching about another king, the king, and they are actually rejecting Caesar as their king. So there was a lot of problem, and these people, the Christians that were formed over there in Thessalonica, were facing persecution. They were facing affliction by these people, by the countrymen over there. And Paul was concerned that they would not be shaken in their faith because of this persecution. So he sent Timothy to check out how they are doing. But he's very glad that they are really doing wonderful. So we see it, when he opens chapter 4 verses 1, the first thing that he's exhorting the Thessalonians is to abound more and more. You will be saying, like, you know, these guys are so nice. I mean, they are doing so wonderful. Thessalonian church was an exemplary church. They were doing great in their faith. They had labor of love and they had patience of hope. Why do I need to exhort them when they are already doing such good job? But you know what? Paul had this desire. He wanted them to excel. He wanted them to excel. He wanted them to do even more. He wanted them to be not contented with their spiritual state where they are at. Even though they are doing wonderful, he wanted them to excel. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase. This is the second time he mentions here. Increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. Even as we do toward you. The word beseech and exhort is very important, because here Paul is requesting them. And in exhort, basically he is like coming alongside and encouraging them and motivating them. And that's the job of the preacher, that he does not only impart the truth, but he also motivates them, if they are doing good, to do even greater, to go to the next level. So basically Paul here is talking about spiritual growth. The question is, am I growing? Am I growing? And we got to be honest to ourselves. Am I growing in the Lord? Why is Paul exhorting them? Why this is the first thing that comes in Paul's mind and he's exhorting them to increase more, to abound, to excel, is because he knows that the tempter can tempt them. In verse 5 of chapter 3, he says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means," the devil has many means to tempt you. And he says that my labor would be in vain. You know, this Thessalonian church did not succumb to persecution. And the devil has schemes to undermine their effort and to undermine their doing well in spiritually. And it is a possibility that Thessalonians, though because they were doing great, they could be puffed up with pride because they are doing wonderful, and they might have the attitude of superiority over others. But you know what? They are still vulnerable. They can still be deceived. They can still fall from their steadfastness. Because you know what? The time of perfection has not come yet for them and for us. The time of perfection will come when Christ returns. That's the completion. That's the goal. So Paul is not going to build them up in their egos that they are doing wonderful. But he is going to quickly challenge them to do even more. And you know what? This is what I want to do this morning. This is what Paul wants to do. This is what Peter did. He challenged the people in his church to excel more. The word excel is a Greek word, perisio, and it means to increase. NASB translates as excel still more. NIV translates as do this more and more. And Darby says abound still more. And New Jerusalem Bible says make more progress still. The other places this word appears is in Matthew 5:20, when Jesus tells that your righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. The word exceed is the word abound more and more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, are we the better? So basically, abounding more and more is that you can do even better. You're doing good, but you can do better. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12 is that you may excel. So as we said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul is remembering without ceasing their work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. So they are a loving church, they were a caring church, they were a zealous church, and not only that, they were a hard working church. So much so that they were an example to all the other churches. That's quite something. Their lifestyle was sounded in other places like Achaia and Macedonia. Look in verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, so that you became an example to all who have faith in Christ in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only was the word of the Lord sounding out from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God is made clear. So that we have no need to say anything. Paul is saying, I don't even have to say because you were so famous all around that region. Why? Because they were faithful. They were excelling. They were doing great. But Paul is not satisfied by them doing good. Paul is not satisfied. And neither did he want the Thessalonians to be satisfied with where they were at. You know, this verse, this phrase, increase and abound, it appears four times just in 1 Thessalonians chapter, 1 Thessalonians book. So that tells me that Paul was really concerned and had this strong desire for these people to go beyond. To go beyond. He wanted them to have a healthy spiritual discontentment. Healthy spiritual discontentment. Once the writer said this, someone said, rest not in what you have attained. There is yet a progress for us all. If we think we are risen as high as we need, we have attained as much as is necessary, it is quite otherwise. Your work is to excel more. To excel more, to do more. Paul wants them to stretch further. In verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, they were a loving church. They loved the brethren. They sacrificed for them. They worked hard at it. Look, it says, but as touching brotherly love, we need not that I write unto you, for ye yourself are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But I beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Do it more. Go to a greater extent. Go to a higher degree. You might be the best at reading and spending time with the Lord. You can do more. You can be best at praying. You can do it more. You with the person that would be giving to the Lord, but you can do it more. You can serve, and you are serving, and you are faithful, you can do it more. And that's the aim that we have to mark. We have to aim at excellency. You know, we need to have higher standards of spirituality. And that's what we got to teach our children, right? If I'm going to just teach my children and say that he's doing good in this area, but he's not good in that area, why not in other areas as well? We have to teach them to excel in what they are doing. You know, my child, you know, I hear it all the time in music industry. Oh, my child, you know, he is fickle. He doesn't like playing guitar now. He wants to, you know, play tennis. So I just took him out and put him over there. Oh, he moved there. He doesn't like tennis anymore. And, you know, he's going to some other sports or some other activity. And you know what? You're jack of all, master of none. Because why? From childhood, they are instilling in them that it's okay to be an average child. It's okay to not have higher expectation. It's okay that you should not have higher standards. You do whatever you feel like and you can do it. That's it. But you know what? As parents, we raise the standards and ask them to excel, to reach that mark. Paul, you know, one writer said this, the entire Christian life is a journey toward excellence. We should never retire from this quest. No matter where you are at spiritually, or in your relationship with others or with God, you can do better. you can do better. If I get B in my examination, you know, my parents would say, you could have got A. You could have done better. Don't we hear that always? Why? Because we have not given that much effort that we could and we were able to give, but we were lazy. You know, Paul had this desire for himself. He aimed at excellency. He wanted to increase more and more. And look at this in Philippians chapter 3 verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And now notice this, what he says. Forgetting those things which are behind. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I am not occupied of what all I have attained and achieved in my spiritual life. You know, when a runner is running in a race, he doesn't look back to see how much distance he's covered. Right? He looks always ahead, how much more he can cover and how faster he can cover. And that's what Paul is saying. I'm not occupied and thinking about how much I've come to this place, but I want to go more. Look, he says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. There is always a danger of thinking that we have attained, that we are fine, we are doing fine, we are really doing good. There is always a temptation, but we must exceed. And that's the desire that Paul wants to instill in the Thessalonian church. You know, it starts with the desire first. If I want to, I can relate to music more. If I want to learn a complicated piece in the music, Mozart or whatever, you know, I have to aim that I want to finish this and do it the best I can. I can do it. Unless I have that standard, first desire to do it, I won't even start. I will be comfortable with what I am and where I am. See, Peter said in 2 Peter 1:5, he said, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That word virtue is excellence, more moral excellence. It is the strong desire to do better. It is a strong desire to live to the full potential that God has called me for. So once you set your heart to anything that you want to excel in, virtue comes in. You know what does virtue says? Virtue says, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice and do whatever it takes to reach that level of excellence. We can never do enough. We can never do enough. And you know what, this is Paul, this is God's desire. This is what Jesus Christ desires. I want to show you this. In Luke chapter 19, parable of the talents. He said, therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So this is what Jesus is doing today. He's left, he's gone to heaven, and he has given us faith, and he tells us to add to it, and he tells us to increase and be a good businessman. If you were in a corporate world, occupy till I come. And he says, and then when he comes, he says in verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. See, Jesus Christ was concerned, how much did you gain? He was not concerned about the 1 pound that he gave them. He wanted it to be increased. And this is what happens when he comes second time in his judgment in Luke chapter 19 verse 16, he calls the first servant whom he had given the pound, and the first one said, I gained 10 pounds. You gave me one, Lord. I did it. I multiplied into 10. That's good profit. And see what Lord says, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second one said, Lord, I gained 5. And he said, be thou also over 5 cities. What was the difference between the one who gained 10 and the one that gained 5? The one who gained 10 aimed higher. He aimed higher. He put more effort. So, and that's why he was giving rulership over 10 cities. So there is a degree of position in the coming government of Jesus Christ. And in order to determine how much effort do you put today. So our authority will be according to the degree we labor today. You know, we should not only strive to enter the kingdom, but we should strive to attain higher position in the kingdom. That's the mark of excellency. Because you can have a certain standard, but if you have lower standard, you're going to try to make it till there, and you might make it till there or little below that. But if you have higher standard, then you can get somewhere at least. Somewhere better, right? If you aim for higher, much higher, then you can at least end. And this is exactly this third servant did, who was given, you know, I call him napkin Christian. They're napkin Christian. You don't want to be a napkin Christian. You know who's a napkin Christian? He's an average. He's a mediocre Christian. This other servant was not careless. Notice he was not careless. He hid the talent safely under the earth. He was careful. And another came saying, Lord, behold, there is thy pound which I have kept laid up in napkin. And he said unto them, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. So he had established a standard that, you know what, I'm going to keep it safe. But you know what? When he showed up at the judgment seat, man, he was nowhere close. He falls short of it. And God, Jesus, calls him at the judgment seat, wicked and slothful servant. What am I saying? I'm saying is that let's raise our standards. People are busy raising the standard of living in this age, right? They want the next car. They want the next house. But spiritually, we need to raise our standards. Spiritually talking, Daniel, in verse 3 of chapter 6, Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Why was Daniel preferred above all the other princes and prince and presidents? You know why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Sounds like exactly like what Jesus has in mind. He will prefer to put someone who has excellent spirit today to excel over his coming kingdom. Daniel was not a mediocre. He was not an ordinary Christian. He was extraordinary. Read the book of Daniel and you'll come to know he was not an ordinary person. He purposed in his heart. He did things. He was not scared. He was courageous. He did not fear men or even the president or even the king in his age. But he feared God and he obeyed God. And he went to greater extent to serve God. Solomon, when he was building the temple, if you were in those days, if you were in Solomon's kingdom, and you were a busy man, because you know what? He was building a great temple. It was magnificent. He was putting all the money, he was putting all the effort, and he was putting all the labors he could put. Because you know what? He says this in 2 Chronicles 2:5, "And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. And now send to me a skilled man to work in gold and in silver and bronze and iron and purple and crimson and violet, and knowing how to engrave all kinds of engravings with the skilled men." So he did not want just an ordinary craftsman. He wants skilled people. Why? Because he had a great God. And this is what exactly we have to be skillful in what we do. We should be skillful at a job. We should excel. We should be, if you're learning something, you should be, or if you're doing something, we should be skillful in everything. Whatever God puts in our hand, or wherever God puts us, we should be excelling Christian. You know, here's a great thing. You know, my boss, you know, he says one thing. I mean, we require people for the office, new office that are coming up. He requires employers. So he says, you know what, Raj, look for Christians. He's not a Christian, he's a typical Hindu. He said, I want Christians. He said, because I know Christians are very good at work. And he said, I've decided that I don't want anyone else. Why? Not because I am just there, because there were Christians working with him, and he had good and great experience. The point is that whoever was that, they were excelling, and they were different from the ordinary worldly people who just come 9 to 5 and go back home. They were excelling. They were extraordinary. They showed that they serve a greater God by applying those principles in their daily walk where they are at. Not just in the church, but wherever they are at. And that's exactly is what we are talking about, excelling wherever you are. Make the best out of it. Give your full. Do it. And be the best Christian. Be a greatest mom. Be a greatest father. Be a greatest husband. Be a greatest whatever you are. Excel. You can never do enough. 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says this. We should not be ordinary. You know why? Because we are special people of God, chosen by God. Not something because we are some great or we did something great, but because of His mercy, He has chosen us, and we are given the responsibility to show forth God's excellence, show His attributes to others in the world. See, Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that is chosen by Him to be special people above all others. That you should show forth, display. This word is, you are the advertisement billboard for God. That's the word, advertise. You are to be the commercial for God. That when people look at your life, they know the God you're serving. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 13:35? But by this all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The way you love each other will show forth how loving I am. It will display my character of loving. So be like your father. In Matthew 5:44-48, Jesus says, love your enemies. Okay, love your brethren, great, no problem. Love someone who does good to you, no problem. But love your enemies, that's like, oh, that's the excelling standard. Now that's the standard God puts or places. But not only that, He says, see, bless them that curse you. What is our standard? Curse them that curse you. Right? But God says, bless them that curse you. Go do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's excellence. That's abounding. That's increasing more. That's pursuing and striving and going beyond. Why? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Basically, he's saying you should be like your Father. You know, you have the saying, you are just like your Father. Well, our Father is this. What he does, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain to the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? The word reward means you don't deserve praise. Because that's natural, come on. You know, you're doing it because you're selfish. Someone loves you, you love them back, you know. He said, there's no praise. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Meaning, your Father is excellent. You be like Him. There is a second kind of Christian. He's called a bare minimum Christian. What is that? Basically, he's saying, what is the least I can do, but yet get maximum result? We find this in our office, you know. Thoda kaam aur zyada fayda. That's a bare minimum Christian. In Matthew 19, rich young ruler, he says, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Meaning, he wants to rule and reign in the kingdom. He wants a position of rulership when Jesus comes the second time. Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. He says, which commandments? Well, he says, love your neighbor. And he gives from the 10 commandments. So his response is this. Lord, I'm already doing that. I'm doing great. I'm fine. I'm doing great. But then Jesus says, oh, okay. If you want to be perfect, if you want to excel, go and sell that thou hast and follow me. Lord, why you have to say that? That's a bare minimum philosophy today. And Christians, they are interested in keeping the best of this life, but they are not ready to sacrifice in this life for the life to come. You know, we have this response, someone needs help, let someone else do it. If spiritual, increasing in spirituality and thinking is important for you, that's the preacher's job. See, I want to be great, but yet I'm not ready to sacrifice. I am not ready to put that effort. That's a bare minimum. And now we can, this morning, be honest and place ourselves in one of these characteristics of 7 types of Christian. Are you a bare minimum Christian? Are you a napkin Christian? Or the third is this. Well, at least I am doing better than this guy. You know. I'm more faithful than him. I'm more loving than him at least. Well, that's your standard? Is that my standard? Well, if he's doing great, you should be doing more. You should not be despising that. That should be the reason all the more to be motivated to do even greater and beyond. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for examples. That is talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that think he stands take heed lest he fall. You might be saying, well, reading this chapter and saying, well, at least I am better than the children of Israel. They were crying and complaining all the time. At least I am not doing that. But you know what Paul is saying? If you think you're doing good, beware. Because you can fall. Don't be high-minded. And then there is a type of a Christian who's been Christian for years and years and years. sitting in the same church, in the same seat, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. But he's not growing. He's still in the same place. We call it immature Christian. Hebrews 5:12, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again." Now, you should be the one teaching, encouraging, motivating others. But yet, the writer is saying that we have to teach you again from the basic principles. That's not good. You should be growing and you should be independent. But here, you have to be burped again. You have to be patted and taken care like a child. You should be full grown and help others. You know what Jesus said? If you have faith as a mustard seed, it grows. It should grow. It should grow. And in Galatians 6:1, he says, "If any brother is overtaken in by fault or in fault, who is the one should restore that person? He that is spiritual." And that is talking about maturity. Let's not walk as men. Let's be mature Christians. And we know how, we'll see how that is done. Instead of maturing, going forward, they are still envying, they are still striving, there are still divisions among them. That's 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul says. And then there is a sleepy Christian. Are you a sleepy Christian? Are you a sleepy Christian? Not physically only, but I'm talking about spiritually sleeping. A sleepy Christian is someone who is stagnant. He's not moving. He's settled. He's not moving further. You know, night is the time of sleep. And day is the time of work, right? Nobody sleeps throughout the day. Oh, except you have a night shift. But you work during the day. But imagine you're sleeping through the whole day. Wouldn't it be weird? And this is what Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. He says, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night." This is talking about apathy in spiritual things. Don't be stagnant. Don't be like a stale pool that is not moving forward. Just stuck there. Because it's very, very easy to be disinterested in the things of God. In the future things especially. It is very easy. Because the things of this world allure you and distract you from things to come. And to become disinterested. And then we have a complacent Christian. In Revelation 3:15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." Thou wert cold or hot. Basically saying, I'd rather that you would be cold or hot. "Because thou says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." This is, my friends, a dangerous place to be in. I'm satisfied with my spirituality. I'm satisfied with what I'm doing. I don't want to do any further. You know, I'm fine. No. That's a complacent. That is a lukewarm Christian. And you know what? Jesus' judgment is upon them. He says, "Knowest thou not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked?" Wow. This is a complacent, lukewarm Christian. In the eyes of God, he is miserable. In his own eyes, he is great. He's doing good. But in the eyes of God, he is wretched. He's poor. He's naked and blind. And then there is a virtuous. There is a Christian who is doing wonderful. Who is doing good. Who is faithful. Who is steadfast. Who is following the commandments. He is loving the brethren. He is reaching to the people. And these were the kind of people that were Thessalonian church. Look in verse 10 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, "And indeed ye do it. So he's telling them, as touching the brethren, loving the brethren, you are already doing it. And I'm so glad you are doing it. But he says, I beseech, increase more and more. And the last type of Christian that I want to talk about is the Christian who is excelling Christian. And this is where I want us to be. This is the type of Christian that we want to be. Proverbs 31:29. Many daughters have done virtuously, meaning they have done well. But thou excellest them all. Meaning you have gone up above. You are better than others. You know, when you are going to look for a wife for your child, or a husband for your child, you want the best, don't you? That's your desire. You want the best. And that's what the proverb is saying. This mother, who was the king's mother, wanted not only a virtuous, but someone who's excelling, a wife for his son. And this also tells me that this starts at the very early age. To setting up standards, as we talked about earlier, to our children, instilling the standards, higher standards, starts from the age. Because he says, many daughters have done well, virtuously. Notice the word daughter. Values are formed from childhood. They are formed from childhood. If my child gets a C, you know, or maybe 4 or 5 marks less, well, at least I got, 5 points less than. Why set that standard? Why not go beyond that and excel? We are to set high standards. We're talking spiritually or for anything that you do. And you listen this, you can never say that I've done too much. There will never ever come a time, as long as you are upon this earth, or till you die, there will never come a time where you can say, I loved too much. No. Oh, I was too much long-suffering. I was too much kind. You can never say, I have too much faith. You can never say. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. That means what he's saying, there is no restriction. God has put many restrictions on other things. But when it comes to character and excelling in the attitude and character, God has not put any kind of limits or boundaries. He said, you can do as much as you can. That's the standard God puts. Hey, you are meek, do it more. You are a self-controlling person, excel, do it more. He's saying, there is no limit. You can never say, well, I have achieved this mark. We are to always abound. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In the work of the Lord. What does Paul say here? That small word, always, means at all times. And the word abound here means, you know what? Overdo it. Oh man, I'm overworked this week. You know? But when it comes to God, you can never say, I've overdone it. I need to go beyond. Because you know why? Why we are to abound in the work of the Lord? Because this is the, dear friend, only time that you can do it. Because once I am in grave, I can do nothing. So use the opportunity to the fullest that you can. Because then time will cease. And you cannot add anything. So I want to encourage you. Is it possible to reach that mark? Is it possible to aim for that mark? Yes, it is. You can do it. Paul did it. 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, by his grace, I labored more abundantly. You know, many Christians today say, you know, God's grace allows me to be who I am. Where I am, that's God's grace. Hallelujah. That's where their grace. Well, you know, why God gives grace? God gives you grace not to be average or meet some place. He gives you grace so that you can do abundantly. Go beyond. Paul labored more than others. Now, he's not glorying in himself. He's saying it's because of his grace. It's God's grace. The grace is the power of Christ. God gives you power to excel, to go higher. Grace has nothing to do with lowering your expectations. But it is to strive for excellence. We cannot afford, let me say this, we cannot afford to set our standards less than excellence. We cannot afford. You know why? 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers are growing, increasing worse and worse. Where are you going to stand? They are going to be deceiving more and more. Iniquity is going to abound more and more. Evil and sin is going to abound more and more. There is going to be more and more influence of evil. Are we going to be able to resist those influences by being a mediocre Christian or any kind of Christian that we talked about? So let's learn from Thessalonians. Now, in the book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul again mentions the same thing. See, in verse 3, he says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fit, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. So basically, he's saying that you are progressing and you are growing, and they are growing exceedingly. Now, what are the things the Thessalonians were doing? You know, I can point my finger at three places. And this is right. Paul starts at the very beginning of the epistle in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, they had work of faith, they had labor of love, and the third thing, they had patience. Or in other words, endurance of hope. And these three things, if we have, and if we are exceeding, that's our standard. Our faith groweth exceedingly. You know, the first point that we can learn, if you want to desire to excel, the first thing that we need to do is practically grow. Grow in faith. Now, how do I do that? I grow. So we look at Thessalonians. How did they grow in faith? Okay. In verse 13 of chapter 2, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard. So this was a hungry church. They heard, they read, they loved the word. They were continually, they were growing in the word. They were multiplying knowledge to the faith. What is faith? Faith is the mysteries of the kingdom revealed to the elect, to the people of God. And how does faith come? How does it come? By hearing the word of God. And the word of God is to be taught in Colossians 2:7, so that the churches could be established and rooted in faith. So the first thing that you need to do is grow in the word. Desire the sincere milk of the word, so that you can grow. 1 Peter 2. Verse 1 and 2. How much time are you spending in the Word? Is the question. Read the Word. Listen. If you miss church service, download the sermon. Listen. Be in the word every day. And that's how your faith is going to grow. That's how it's going to grow. That's the only one way. There is no shortcut. Jesus was told by the apostle, disciple, Lord, if you want us to forgive our brothers 7 times, increase our faith. They might probably thought that Jesus would do just abracadabra and they would have, you know, they would increase in faith. No, Jesus said, no, that's not how faith increases. Faith increases by being small and growing in the Word. And not only growing in the Word, but then you applying. They were adding works to their knowledge, to their faith. In 1 Thessalonians verse 9, look at this, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living God. So they were turning. That was the evidence of their works of faith. They turned. You know, there are many things that we need to turn from. There are many things, wrong things we have to turn from. Turn from the wrong to the right, from the dark to the light. And that's work of faith. And Peter also says the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, add to your faith virtue. He says, add patience, temperance, brotherly kindness, godliness, and charity. That's works of faith. And in closing, the second thing is, first you need to what? Grow in the word and in the works of faith. Second thing is, you got to labor. If I want to excel in something, if I want to do something really good and master it, I have to labor, isn't it? It's not going to be easy. If I want to be the best pianist, well, I have to put a lot of time, effort, sacrifice. And this is what they were doing. They were laboring in love. The word labor is very interesting. You know, the word laboring actually is being exhausted, tired. Now I think about Dolphin and all, you know, at the wedding, everyone was exhausted, stretching beyond. But you know what? What is that? That is labor of love. That is labor of love. And should I be satisfied with that? I can do more. Someone else's wedding. No, I'm just kidding. I'm saying that, you know, that's labor. So when we labor for love, you know, we are expected to be exhausted, tired, weary, painful. It's pain, right? But you know what? It's also intense effort. That's the word labor is. Love is not a warm, fuzzy, sentimental thing. Oh, I love you. No, it's not. It's action. It's shown in action. It's active. That's why, read 1 Corinthians 13. What does it say? Love is not rude. Love is kind. Love is patient. On and on. Love never fails. And the last thing, in closing, they endured. They abounded in hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience. The word patience is hupomone. It means endurance. Bearing under pressure. It's a quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstance or succumb to any kind of trial. They had patience of hope. Under persecution and tribulation, they were bearing it. And that is, and what gave them the strength to bear it? It's the hope. You know what is hope? That something good is about to happen. I know there's something good is about to happen. I know there's something good is on its way. That's hope. God has something good for us in store. I know that God will not forget my work and labor of love, which I have done towards the saints. God will not forget my endurance and He will reward me. Hope looks to the things that is future. And what were they looking? What were the Thessalonians looking at in the future? They were looking at obtaining the glory. They were looking at obtaining the glory. They were looking to enter the kingdom and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were looking to be caught up in the air and meet the Lord in the air and come with the saints and establish and rule in the coming kingdom. They were hoping of being raised from the dead and resurrected and have immortality. In closing, this is the third closing. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let us. This is exhorting Berean Bible Church. Let us, who are of the day, be sober. Meaning be in touch with the reality of things to come. Putting on the breastplate of faith. Again, the three things. Love. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Have faith. Grow in faith, grow in love, and grow in hope. You know, Paul went to Berea after Thessalonian church. And you know what in Acts 17:11 says? The Bereans were noble than those in Thessalonica. We are Berean Bible Church, right? We should be doing better than the Thessalonians. Right? We should be doing. I mean, Thessalonians, if you read the book of Thessalonians, they were really doing amazing. But we are nobler than that. We should be doing even greater than them. So let's have love. Let's have faith. Grow. Get the word in. You know, persecution, bear it. And respond in the right way. Amen?